Beloved in the Lord, one thing that the past couple of years has taught us is that you never know what's going to happen. You don't know what may change globally, medically, legally, politically, personally. There's contradicting information, opposing advice, smoke and mirrors. And we've lived through years of uncertainty and questions and even second guessing. The challenge is often, how do you go forward? Has this sense of second guessing and being unstable affected everything about your life, my life? Is agitation going to be the way we approach life, each other, church? Even those who try to remain settled and steadfast experience a degree of restlessness that they haven't experienced before. And if you look at the big picture, it might even seem like society sliding backwards. We're caught up in it all and there's no escape. What's the future going to look like? It's a crazy world out there, isn't it? We may even get caught up in that question for ourselves, for our families, for our church. I know I'm not your pastor, but you're in a time of transition. What's the future going to look like for the church here? And you can ask it, chewing on your fingernails, as it were, or getting worked up. You can ask it with your, arms folded and just, I'm going to sit back and see and observe before I even think anything. You might shrug your shoulders. Or we can ask it with what a skeptic might call ignorant bliss, but which is really the essence of faith. We can ask the question, what will the future bring? Trusting the God who is going to lead us into this as well. And God speaks comfort and promise to His people. Trust me. You have big question marks. Trust me. That's what Moses really wanted to remind the people of as well. He knew he was about to die. He knew he wasn't going with them. He knew they had questions about the future. He knew that last time they came to this point, they turned around, didn't dare to go forward. And so this time, as they come to that point, He wants to leave them with the promise, the blessing. Not just personal blessings, but blessings from, yes, their leader, but their God-appointed leader, their God-sent ambassador who would point them back to God. And so we turn to Deuteronomy 33. Our text is one phrase in verse 27. But let's just read the context again. This is what Moses says to those who are facing the question, what's the future going to include? There's no one like the God of Jeshurun. We don't know exactly what Jeshurun is or means. But if we translate it, it's the God of uprightness or the God of people who are upright. He rides the heavens to help you. He is your refuge. And He doesn't just ride the heavens to help. Notice what it says. He rides the heavens to help you. And in His excellency on the clouds, the eternal God is not our refuge, your refuge. And then Moses uses this image of encouragement that if settled the faithful for centuries. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And it's that image that I want you to grasp with your minds this afternoon. Underneath are the everlasting arms. It's a promise of security. Notice what the security is. Everlasting arms. But specifically the everlasting arms of God. Because these arms are divine, these arms are powerful. Psalm 44, our fathers did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did our fathers' arms save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance. And you see, these arms aren't there to puff up the person. These arms are there because they're powerful in keeping covenant. That's Psalm 89, to keep covenant, you have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. To keep covenant, you have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, high as your right hand. And the description of God's powerful arms are given multiple times in Scriptures to inspire confidence. Isaiah 51, my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. These are the powerful arms of God. But they're not powerful in a destructive sense. These aren't flailing arms that are strong. These arms are safe arms. Isaiah 40, he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those who are with young. Right, these are the arms that we see personified in Jesus Christ himself. Mark 9, Jesus took a little child, set the child in the midst of them, and took up the child in his arms. And the parents brought their children to Jesus so that he would touch them, and the disciples wanted them to stay away, and he said, no, let them come to me. And he took them up in his arms and he laid his hands on them and blessed them. You see, these are arms of love. And they're powerful enough to create, and they're powerful enough to redeem. And yes, they're powerful enough to overthrow temples or overthrow tables in the temple. But for those who trust in these arms, they're safe. Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore, with loving kindness, I have pulled you towards me. They're safe arms. They're powerful, they're safe, and they're everlasting. They don't grow weary. They don't ache. They don't get the shakes. They don't experience tremors. They're always and eternally secure arms. Long before Deuteronomy 33, when Moses was being commissioned to go into Egypt and tell the people they were to come out, what does God say? I will redeem you. This is the message to the people. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord. These arms are a demonstration of who God is, so that you, the people, would know that He is God. There's no one else. And even if the greatest things could be used to restrict the arms of the Lord, it wouldn't make an ounce of difference. Children, you know the story of Samson, right? The strong man. And he was doing things for the Lord. And the people wanted to stop him, so they wrapped him up with the strongest ropes they could find. And when the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson, the ropes on his arms became as flax that was burned with fire. And those cords just disintegrated. And you see, if the Lord could make Samson's arms that strong, how strong do you think his own arms are? There's nothing that can restrict him. And yes, these arms are symbolic. But the Lord uses this picture of strong arms over and over so that you would know not just about arms that are strong, but so that you would know God. Isaiah 52, the Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and the ends of the people shall see the salvation of our God. What's the greatest demonstration of the arms of the Lord? The accomplishment of salvation and the way that He brings that to the farthest parts of earth. So that everyone who believes will know that God can powerfully preserve you until the end. And so what will the future bring? Does it matter? Some of us will try and save ourselves. Some of us will try and think if we do this, then we can keep a good future. Or if we don't do this, then we will have a good future. We'll try extra hard. We'll try to improve. We'll make resolutions. We'll do the stereotypical thing and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's the strength and effort of our own arms. But then we have things to worry about. But these safe and powerful and everlasting arms are an invitation to trust. Now, it doesn't mean don't make a resolution or don't make a goal. It doesn't mean just float through life and don't think and don't care and don't do, because after all, God's got me. No, trusting in these arms begins with trusting God. If you look at verse 29, happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. The covenant people aren't great by themselves, but they are a people saved by the Lord, their shield, their sword. These everlasting arms bring joy, blessing, and happiness. And these people are going forward trusting the Lord. But are we trusting? You know, Psalm 89, referenced already, speaks of the arm of the Lord. It's a covenantal psalm, and there's many descriptions of God. But the conclusion of Psalm 89 is this: blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. It's not just the idea that the sound is out there or the covenant is out there. Psalm 98 turns it around. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders He has wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to His cause have brought. See, God's saying, I will triumph. My arm is powerful. Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah prays, because the people haven't always seen this. They've not recognized it. And he prays, ah, Lord God, behold, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing that is too hard for you. You made creation with your hands. And you've brought out your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. You've given them this land. And the people don't see it. They don't see what your hand, your arm has brought. and you've caused all this calamity, the Chaldeans overrunning all the fields, to come upon them. Why is it? Is it because your arms weren't powerful enough to stop them? No, not at all. The promise is real, but the blessing's not realized. Why not? Because they've ignored the words of the one with everlasting arms. We might say they've squirmed out of those arms. They don't want to be held by the Lord. They want to try and do it themselves. And what happens when they do it themselves? The Chaldeans come in. So if you think of these everlasting arms, don't be confused. This promise isn't for everyone. There's danger in not trusting God. There's danger in living apart from God. There's no security in that. You can't rest in the everlasting arms of God if you don't believe Him and what He's said. The promise of security for the future is for those who know God's work in their souls, turning them from death to life. But then, there's another, but then. The promise of security is that those arms are under every believer. And I want us to consider the scope of what that is. When does that apply? In Deuteronomy, the promise is made to Asher. Asher would turn out to be one of the tribes blessed by good land. Asher, as a community, would have material prosperity. And they would be faithful at times. And there would be other times they would not be faithful. You could trace the people of Asher throughout the Old Testament. Sometimes they would support the righteous kings, and sometimes they would support evil kings. And we, looking back, would say, what's going on? But they were living day by day and they were forgetting the blessings that were promised to them. And there were times the people of Asher would hold back. They would mix with wrong people. They'd feel apart from the blessings of Israel. And they'd complain. How are we going to go into the future? Well, here's the reminder. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And you know there's something beautiful? In Revelation, the tribe of Asher is numbered as one of the faithful with 10,000 or 12,000 in the symbolic number of saints. Proving this point, those preserving arms are real, and the tribe of Asher would be kept to the end. But what does this mean for us today as we're reading the blessings of God through Moses? We think of it in terms of this group of people. Remember this, those preserving arms are real for everyone who trusts. In the future, when people disappoint you, look beyond people to those everlasting arms. People change, those arms don't change. In the future, when you feel unable to do or to serve, look to those everlasting arms. God will enable you to do what He has called you to do. This is true for pastors. This is true for office bearers. This is true for Sunday school teachers. It's true for volunteers. But it's also true for what we considered this morning. God's called you to be a saint. Look to those everlasting arms to sustain you as a saint. This week, when you feel spiritually weak, don't be afraid to admit your weakness. When you are weak but can't do anything but be exhausted, you can sink back because those arms are underneath you. He is strong. And when if you try and get up and get going again, but still crumpled down, you can realize this. Underneath me are the everlasting arms. Spurgeon once said it this way: it's exactly where there's nothing left to me, then God comes in with all his fullness and he lifts me up. He's full of compassion. Go home if you may. If you have months of sickness and disease, go home, Spurgeon says, and carry this text with you. Underneath me are the everlasting arms. It's not a hospital bed. It's the powerful, safe arms of God. And so if you go into the future and future life overwhelms you, and you might think you can't do it, you might think you're deserted, God will not totally withdraw his spirit. Even if it's in a depression and melancholy that you've never experienced before, he will not allow you to be totally deserted. He won't allow you to plunge yourself into eternal destruction, because underneath everyone who believes are these arms. And tomorrow, if sin fills you and surrounds you, and you gradually realize it and try to escape it, don't think that you need to escape God. Don't think that God cannot know. I can't go to God with this because he's going to kick me out. Don't think it's no my foolishness, my consequence, my heart. No, you can still go to those arms. Seems contrary. But again, as Spurgeon said, if the Lord sends serpents, you fly into the arms of the God who sent the serpents. It's he alone who lifts up the bronze serpent before your eyes and tells you, look at this. You're unworthy to go to those arms, but you're not unwelcome. You're unworthy, but you are very welcome. So if in this year you face unexpected trials, remember what the Lord said to Moses. There's something so profound about Moses being the deliverer of this promise. Eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. But Moses himself had struggled with that before. Right? Just take one example. The people needed more food, and they came to Moses and complained, and Moses took that burden and responsibility on himself, and he didn't know where it was going to come from, and he's getting exasperated. And he goes to the Lord, and what's the response? Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Has the Lord's arm been turned into a stub? Is it too small to reach down and deliver what you need, Moses? What you need, O people of Israel? No, and the Lord sent in quail, and the hearts of the people were revealed. That arm hasn't changed, and Moses knows it. And at the end of his life, he can look back on everything he's learned and promote, as it were, this promise. The eternal God is your refuge. Please see it, sense it, live it, depend on it. As you go into the future, go with what I've learned from my life. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. Even if you're hungry, even if you're thirsty, even if you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. As questions fill your minds, remember these arms. It's not just an Old Testament promise. Jesus in John 10 reminds the disciples of this. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. In this time of uncertainty in your life, or this time of questions, or this time of what's next, remember the role of arms is to grasp, it's to protect, and it's to hold close. As a believer, the arms of God are there to grasp you. They're there to protect you. They're also there to hold you close. These everlasting arms are underneath you all the time. That's the scope of it. It's always. Not just when everything's well and good, but even as you face your fears. Your body breaks down. Underneath you is something that will never break down. As your ability slows down, underneath you is something that will never change. As this year brings another loss, God's still there. You see, even if this year brings you to a deathbed, this is still your test. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. They're not just the arms for the 80 years of your life. No, underneath you are everlasting arms. This is Moses' last words. It's for all future. Notice how Moses understands this all future to be, because I think he even sees it's going to be the final enemy, death. If you continue reading verse 27, underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you and will say, destroy, be destroyed. And what's the final enemy? Death. Be destroyed, death, because these arms are going to carry every saint to glory. So as you go into the future, take this promise of security with you. Realize it's secure. Realize the scope is for all of life. And remember the promise of support that is in these everlasting arms. Everlasting arms. It's not the raised fist of punishment. It's not the swinging arm of anger. It's supporting arms, holding saints close. And if you know the grace of God in your life and confess that you trust Him, you need to realize this. You are being held close to God. God's coming wanting to hold you close. Now, sometimes we try to squirm out, jump out, run away, do things our own way. But those arms are here to keep you, preserve you. And take that image then. And what happens when you're resting in a small child's resting in the arms of a loving and strong parent. The child looks up into the face of him who carries him. Are you who are resting in the arms of Jesus looking up into the face of God, trusting him as he carries you? What would it be to look up into the arms of God who's carrying you safely and closely and powerfully, steadily, and hear God's promise? Right? You're looking up into this face, and what do you hear? But because you have set your love on me, I will deliver you. I will set you up on high because you've known my name. You call on me, I will answer you. I will be with you always. I will deliver you. And with long life, I will satisfy you and I will show you salvation. Are you resting in the everlasting arms, looking to God? Because what a fellowship, what a joy divine it would be to lean on those everlasting arms. What a blessedness would be yours. What a peace. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms. But take this image again. If you are one of those children of God in his arms, and yes, maybe even looking up. Don't just look up, but rest. Right? So often we walk through life with burdens on our back. We go into the future with a fear that almost paralyzes us. It's so heavy. No one can get it. No one understands. No one can support me through this. But if you really trust those everlasting arms, lean into those arms. Right? The promise of security is real. And what would it be to not try and go forward by yourself, not try and be strong by yourself, but just to lean into the arms of the everlasting God, saying, God, you have me. Not because I'm not going to go out and serve you. Not because I don't want to be a saint. But because I'm just trusting you with everything. You say, Pastor, it's easy to say. It's not easy to do. I get it. It's contrary to the fix-it mentality of men and the supportive mentality of women to come beside and help each other along. It's contrary to the zeal of youth. We want to go out and do. Fix ourselves. But you see, here's faith. Can you lean into the arms of Jesus for everything you need? Because he's... Well, let me change the image for a moment. As the Catechism says, I think it's Lord's Day 9. Right? As a Father, he is willing and able to do everything I need for soul and body, this life and the next. And are we just going to lean back then and trust the Father in faith? It's as the hymn writer says, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. So as you face questions, look, lean, and encourage others to do exactly the same. Luke 2. You can read of Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And the description of Anna is she served God with prayers day and night. And Jesus was brought into the temple, and Anna gave thanks to the Lord, and she spoke of all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here's the one who secured redemption. And you see, this is what believers need to do to remind each other throughout the year. Underneath are the everlasting arms, my friend. Be a saint. Be holy for God. Be courageous for God. Even if you don't realize it or feel it right now, God will take care of you. Even if you think you've lost everything, you've not lost those everlasting arms. There's no stronger foundation. He's powerful. He's loving. He's safe. Are you going to go forward trusting? One of my favorite illustrations from John Bunyan comes from Pilgrim's Progress, very near the end of the journey. Bunyan paints this picture of Christian and hopeful crossing the river of death together. And Christian's older, and he's afraid of the river. He knows he has to go through, takes steps in. As he's crossing the river, Christian cries out to the younger hopeful, I'm sinking, the waves are going over my head, the water's too deep, I don't feel anything underneath me, it's all just water. And hopeful, as a good Christian friend, Bunyan says, held Christian and said, be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom, and it's good. And it's good for me, and it's good for you. We'll get through. Not because hopeful was so great. But that's the point. He was hopeful in the promises of God, which he knew were secure, even in crossing the river of death. Even when you can't feel it, it's true. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Even if you can't see it, it's true. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God really is your refuge. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this promise. We thank you for the graphic, simple way that you remind us of this promise of security. Through life, to the end, into glory, for all those who trust you. Lord, we believe. Please help our unbelief. We look to you. We lean into you. We desire that others would look to you and lean on you. And yet so often we lean on our own understanding. But Lord, this afternoon we acknowledge you. And we pray that you would direct our paths into the future. And help us all to live lives of faith-filled trust. No matter where we are. Or what is brought into our lives. Please bless us throughout this week. Keep us from sin. Bring home those who are expected home. And we pray that we would look forward to next Sunday with eager anticipation. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.